Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for worshiping with us. Today here at Grace Point, if you have your Bible, Psalm 119. If you want to turn to Psalm 119, we're walking through Psalm 119 this year in 2017. And so we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 this morning. So we're going to take a little bigger step as we really are just trying to get our feet under ourselves as we're looking at Psalm 119. As you're turning there, let me remind you, though, Easter weekend. So we have next week is the 2nd, the following week is the 9th, and then Easter is upon us. So let me just remind you, 5 services Easter weekend, Good Friday at 6:30, different message, different worship time. And then Saturday, 3 o'clock is the egg drop, 4 o'clock is our first Easter service, and then 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock on Easter Sunday. So I hope you're making plans to join us on Easter weekend at one of those services. Psalm 119, 176 verses, 171 of them are pointing us back to God through mention of the Scriptures. So in 171 of those 176 verses, we get reference about the Scriptures. It can be in a number of different ways: the statutes, the laws, the testimonies, the word, or the ways. And so we are recognizing the importance of that, I hope this year, and understanding our need to understand the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to know the promises of God, because that's where we are going to find our hope. As we're talking about hope, 2017, this whole year. Now, I want to remind you, as we talk about the Scriptures and the importance of walking in the ways of God and according to His statutes and His laws, we need to just be reminded that I'm not calling you, nor does God call us, to legalistic living. So He's not saying, here are the rules. Know them, memorize them, live by them. That's not what He's saying. But many times as Christians, that's what we think. And even many unbelievers think that when you start to talk. It's just a list of rules, a list of don'ts. That's really not what we're after, and that's not what God is saying. So let me just remind you what's happening in our hearts as believers is there is this inward transformation in our hearts done by God, this inward transformation that produces then an outward change. So it's not external that moves to internal. So external motivation, so it works short term, but it doesn't work long term. And so when we talk about maturing in our faith and growing in our faith and understanding the Word of God, what we're praying for ourselves, and then we're praying for others, and we're certainly praying for our children, right, is you want them to get to a place that they're motivated not by the rules, but by a heart of understanding what is right and a desire to walk that way. Now, for a while, obviously, you have to. As they're growing, as they're learning, you need to have those rules. But what your prayer is, and what ours was for our kids, and still is that they come to a point where it's not just about the rules, it's about a heart change, right? And so, therefore, for us as believers in Christ, as children of God, which we talked about last week, that whole message, is we then, when this inward change takes place, this transformation, there's an outward change. And then what happens is we have a desire to walk according to God's word. It's not a burden. It's not tiresome. We're not weary. We have a desire to be obedient to God. We understand, first and foremost, out of our love for God, we walk in obedience to Him. We also understand there's blessing there. That's what Psalm 119, verse 1, and are talking about, that there's blessing as we walk this way. Let me just read a scripture passage. You don't need to turn there. Just stay on Psalm 119. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the Lord of peace, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. So there's the process. You've been saved. Now here's what's happening. Sanctifying you, transforming you, growing you completely, and may your whole spirit and son and body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're saved, and positionally, right, we are sanctified. And now practically, as God is transforming us, he begins to change how we think, what we value, what we do, how we see things, how we see each other. And as our internal life changes, as God begins to transform you, and that's happening, I think, through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, as we're sitting here and hearing the Word of God, God transforms us, right? And then we begin to look at things differently, and we find great contentment in that. And so, therefore, we desire to walk according to God's way, godly happiness, because we believe, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So we want to get to that place where what we hear settles into our hearts and then impacts the way we walk. Psalm 119. It in fact impacts how you're living life. It's going to what you hear this morning in Psalm 119 then is going to impact your day today. That's what we're after, what you're hearing. See, and then you're taking what you're hearing. God is doing something in you, transforming you, and then that's moving you, that's changing you. One writer says it this way: the gospel of Christ is of no practical use to us while we keep it isolated from our daily life. So when we do that, we'd be called a practical atheist. Practical atheist is we know the Word of God, but as far as into our life and into the way I'm looking at things and living, well, it's just not there. So the gospel of Christ is of no practical use to us while we keep it isolated from our daily life. It becomes of great use as it becomes the power of God in our daily lives. So today, now, and as you leave here, that you're living in light of this truth, of the power of God and what God is showing you through the description, and God is transforming you. So Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Let me read it, and then we'll go back and start to just take a few things from it this morning. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. So precepts, statutes, testimonies. We're talking about the Word of God. Okay, then, verse 6, I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. So verses 6 through 8, I think, is the result of you doing verses 1 through 5. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Now, so I was studying in my Bible, and I just took a picture of it. If you can put it up here, and I want to show you. It's kind of hard to see, but so here's what we're looking at this morning. One of the things that when I didn't originally think I was going to show, so that's why my lines aren't straighter, and my circles aren't better, and the word in the bottom left is not written well, but it says result. So, but then as I started thinking about it, I thought I want to show you kind of what I'm thinking, so maybe it'll stick with you. So today, what I see in this passage when I read this, there's a lot of things, so I try to bring it down to the main ideas here. But if you look at the verse, into verse 2, seek him and following down. If you look at the highlighted, not the circled ones, but if you look at the highlighted, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Notice, what you'll notice here is all the action. That's what I want to get to. All the action of this. Okay? So let's just, and we'll walk through it in a minute, but blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him. So we'll start there in just a minute. So there's action, right? With their whole heart. That's extremely important too. That's why I highlight and circle that. Who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. We've already talked about that. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Not just kept. There's a way. It's a way in which we're to keep them, right? Oh, that my ways may be steadfast. I could highlight that one too, but I didn't have time. In keeping your statutes, then I shall not be put to shame. So this is the result of doing what we just read, all right? Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed. There's more action right there. You need to make sure, what are you looking at? On all, I didn't highlight it, but that's another important word, all your commands. You see how my world is, how I have to shrink it all down? Or we'd be here through the rest of the year, just in these verses. On all is important, okay? Your commandments, okay? I will now. Now here, as I said, verse 6, I think, is the result. So I won't be put to shame because of here's what I've done. I've fixed my eyes on all your commands. Now look at verse 7, I think. We're going to get to that today, but verse 7 is the result. Look what happens, man. This is beautiful. Look at this. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. So do you see what he's saying there? When I learn your word, your statutes, your rules, when I really learn them and know them, what does that move me to? Praising God. It doesn't move me to, this is a burden. I don't like this. It doesn't take you to that place, right? What he's saying is, when I learn your righteous rules, they are for my good. I will praise you, and then with an upright heart, because I'm walking, verse 1, according to your way. That's the result. So it's just the opposite of what many times our flesh tries to tell us, and the lost word tries to tell us is, well, you learn all those rules, man, that's just a burden to carry. You got all this stuff. It's so boring. It's not good. It's, you know, God's just, he's not for you. No, that's not it at all. The more we learn, the more we know, the more we love, the more we desire to walk in his way, and the more it leads us to praising God. That's the result. So let's go back to the start, and let's look at, so first takeaway number one is this: we must be seeking God more than the promises he makes. And we talked about that a little bit on the start. And understand now, I'm saying we, and I'm going to finish this today, showing you how we need to grab a hold of the promises of God. And I want you to understand when I'm saying that, okay, it's not elevating the promises over God. We know the source of those promises are Jehovah God. We trust him and we believe him. So as we're grabbing those promises, we're grabbing him, right? But why I say this is because in Psalm 119, he says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Now, I love this who seek him. So we're not just, I just want the promises. No, we ultimately want God. I think we get there by knowing the promises and knowing his heart, right? That leads us and points us to him. So we want to understand that we are, first and foremost, we are seeking him more than the promises. The promises are pointing back to God. I've said, if you've been with me for any length of time, you've heard it, you've seen it once or twice a year. The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative in which every story points to one that is true and better. He is Jesus. That's the single narrative from Genesis to Revelation. In Psalm 119, that's what's happening. Ultimately, it's pointing us back to God. So we are seeking him. We are seeking God. One writer says, seeking after God signifies a desire to commune with him more closely, to follow him more fully, to enter into a more perfect union with his mind and will. So we're seeking after God, and this is, we're praying the results. So how then do we do that? Let me just give you these few. I won't dwell here. How do we seek? What are some specific ways we seek after God? First and foremost, I think, is through his word, through the Bible, like we're doing today. To know the word of God, to know the promises of God. That leads us to know him and to seek after him. I think we also do it through worship as we come together corporately, even during the week as you're worshiping God on your own. But corporately, that helps us seek God also through prayer is another way, the third way that we're seeking God. So as we go to the Lord in prayer over things, our first heart and our first desire is not just the answer, right? But it is God himself. We're seeking God first and foremost. The presence of God, who God is, the character, and then the answer from God. And then I think through godly counsel is another way that we seek God. Someone who will point you to the scripture. People who will point you to the Lord. And then look how he qualifies it to seek him. Now catch this part. With their whole heart. With their whole heart. Not just a part-time deal. Not just a Sunday deal. Right? The blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart. So let me ask you a question. Just between you and God, we're not gonna. On a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being I've never been more passionate in seeking God with my whole heart. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being whole heart, 1 not at all with my heart. Where would you say you're at today? When it comes to seeking God, is it with your whole heart? Part of my heart, if you're being honest before God. So he calls us to seek him with his whole heart. Now, let me show you what that looks like. I don't think I put this on the screen because it just came to me. But Luke chapter 9, I'm going to read a passage. You don't have to turn there. Verse 23. Here's an example. So what does that look like? To seek God with our whole heart. I think this is it right here. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus is talking about following him. And here's what he says. And he said to all, okay, the crowds, large crowds were following him. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me. Now, here's whole heart. Here's all in. Here's let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. I connect that with whole, I say that's whole heart when we're willing to do that. So here's what I think we do at times, though, is we have this tendency to try and follow him without denying ourselves. We want to follow, just like the crowd. So as you follow this, traces to the gospel when Jesus makes these statements, hey, if you want to follow me, and then he describes exactly what it's going to take, the large crowds started to get smaller, didn't they? Why? Because we want to accept an invitation, but hey, we also want comfort. And so what we do is we try to follow Jesus without denying ourselves or carrying our cross. Let's just get close enough to get some of the blessing, some of the benefit. But let's not get so close that I'm going to have to deny myself, take up my cross. That sounds rough. It's hard. And follow him. So if we're not careful, we get comfortable with seeking God with half our heart. I can get there. What's it look like then? This is what it looks like. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we're called to seek him with our whole heart. Now, here's how it works, I think. So it's one when we choose to do that, when we choose to surrender, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him with our whole heart, and begin to experience him, I would argue, then there's no turning back. We won't go back. So It's one thing for me to teach the Bible, to teach you the Bible, for me to, as I'm learning myself, but in this context, it's one thing for me to teach you the Bible. It's a whole nother thing, you ready? For you to experience it. It's one thing for me to teach you or tell you about, one of my favorite places to eat. I say, it's one thing for me to tell you that if you go up to Babe's today, you're going to get a big old chicken fried steak. And their mashed potatoes, they just set a big bowl right there. And there's a big bowl of corn. Yes, thank you. And then there's green beans and rolls, and then there's a big Dr. Pepper. Let me tell you, it's good. Now, that's one thing, but I'm going to tell you what. It's a whole different world if you go up there and experience that. It's one thing for me to say, hey, this place over here called this Bundt cake place. I forget what it's called. What is it? Nothing Bundt cakes, okay? I don't know the name, but I've eaten. And you go get one of those, let me tell you, if you've never been there, let me just tell you, you go in there and you order one of the chocolate ones. It's got, I don't know what it's called. I think it's double fudge with chocolate chip. It'll change your life. You will never drive by that store the same way again. That's one thing I'm going to tell you, but I'm telling you what, you go and experience, it's a whole different world, right? And those of you who've been there go, oh, yeah. Why? Because you have experienced it. You see what I'm saying? You know. It's one thing to hear about it and to hear me yell about it. But it's a whole other thing to experience the blessing of God, to walk in the ways of God, to seek Him with your whole heart. It's one thing for me to teach it, but when you begin to do it and experience, that's when things radically change in your life. And then once that's happened, there's no going back. We get it. But you know what? What happens is we get so scared or uncertain or that we hold back. And that's where faith comes in. So this takeaway number two, we must make a conscious choice to direct our heart toward God. If we're going to seek Him, we have to make a conscious choice and decision to direct our heart toward God. Psalm 119, verse 4. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, which means, definition, constant in effort to accomplish something. Constant in effort to accomplish something. So it requires careful obedience, right? There's no keeping the word of God by accident. Diligently. He's very clear to us. So you see the action, what we talked about, the intention. So with this blessing, there comes great responsibility that we have, the things that we are supposed to do. So Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with half your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, we can go to many other scriptures I won't today that talk about our whole heart. And that's what I'm wrestling with. You know, what I want you to also this week is, you know, am I there? And if we're not, it's okay. We can be honest about that. God, and then we're asking God to empower us, to transform us, to get us to that place that we desire to seek you with our, we want that, God. Help me with my faith or help me with my unbelief, whatever the honest, transparent prayer might be. But here's a question, though. When I think about seeking Him with our whole heart, so then in my mind, I think, well, wait a minute. Why do we have to seek Him when I've always been taught that we're always in the presence of God? Isn't that? I mean, the Bible tells us, right, that God is omnipresent. So if He's omnipresent, then this seems contradictory. I have to seek God if He's everywhere. Psalm 139 says He, basically, summary, Pastor Dave paraphrase, He's everywhere. Everywhere I go, when I rise, when I sit down. But this is saying, I must seek Him with my whole heart. So then the question is, aren't we always in the presence of God? And the answer to that is yes and no. Okay? Let me answer it. First, in the sense that God is omnipresent, and therefore God is always with us. Psalm 139, yes, yes. In that sense, he is omnipresent. He is always with us. Second, though, yes, he is always with us, his children, in the sense of this covenant commitment to always stand by us, to work on our behalf. Many scriptures, Matthew 28, behold, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So yes, he is. However, the Bible calls us, as I said, here and others, to seek the Lord. So here's where I think is happening. There are seasons in our life. You may be there right now. I've been there. There are seasons in our life where we become neglectful of God. And we give him little thought. And in some cases, no thought. We don't put our trust in him to handle the situation. We don't give him time to move and to work. We're not worshiping faithfully. We're not praying. We stop seeing him as great and beautiful and valuable. And here's what's happened. This is why he's saying seek him, because there are those times when the carnal side of us, the worldly side of us, has blocked our view of God. So we're not seeking him. And we're seeking other things. So that's why he's saying seek him with our whole heart. John Piper talks about this. He says his face is hidden at times behind the curtain of our carnal desires. This condition is always ready to overtake us. This is why he's saying seek God with your whole heart. But he knows that even if we seek him with half our heart, we'll never find victory. We'll never find the true experience of being blessed and walking in the way of God. We hear about it. I teach about it. We never experience it. Because the carnal flesh side of us and Satan as he schemes, we're pulled away. And so God calls us all throughout Scripture and here, Psalm 119, to enjoy continual awareness or continual consciousness of him and of his greatness and of his beauty and of his worth. And listen, that doesn't happen just naturally in the flesh side of us. That's why he says, seek him. Action with your whole heart. Half heart, the other half is in the world, will be pulled away. It's the opposite of mental coasting, of neutrality, that we must be intentional. Let me give you takeaway number three. And then I'm going to finish with 4 and 5, okay? So takeaway number 3 is this. We must be aware of where we're looking. Be aware of where you're looking. That has so much to do with our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 6, where he says, then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Hey, let's print that out and put it over the TV this week. Me too. So where are our eyes are fixed? So it's important to answer this question for you, you know, you and the Lord to answer this question. You know, because wherever you are setting your eyes or fixing your eyes on, whatever that is, that's greatly influencing you. And so that's why throughout Scripture we see setting, you know, fixing the importance of where our eyes are and where our mind is. So be aware of where you're looking. Sometimes it happens. I think it creeps in, I think sometimes, right? Sometimes it's purposeful. We're not looking where we should be looking. We're looking at things we shouldn't be looking, right? But where we're fixing our eyes greatly influences on where we end up and the behavior and the choices we make. Takeaway number three. Now, I want to finish, take two more here very quickly, okay? And I'm going to take off on this idea of, of fixing our eyes. Because here's the other truth. When we fix our eyes, set our eyes up on, you know, the promises of God and God himself, what that does is that gives us hope in what appear to be hopeless situations, right? And that's what we're talking about this year, is where's the hope? And our hope, as we see in Psalm 119, our hope's in the promises of God because of the God who makes the promises, right? So our hope's in the promises of God. So I want to finish with two takeaways, okay? Takeaway number four is this. Especially for those of you who may be wrestling right now, struggling, it's you know, it can be a number of different things, okay? Here's where our hope is, okay? Takeaway number four is very simply, look up. Look up. Let me read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so that idea, that picture encourages us, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, here it is. Three words that can bring hope to a hopeless situation. Ready? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Hope is derived from the direction you are looking. Hope is derived from the direction that you are looking. If you are looking at your circumstances, they will cause you to be hopeless in this broken, fallen world. If you're looking at to your past, they can make you lead you to hopelessness or maybe bitterness or what. If it's your hurt where you're looking to, if you are looking through any other lens other than the lens of faith, it takes us to hopelessness. So where are you looking? Where have you fixed your eyes? So when we look unto him, when we set the idea, fix our eyes on him, his redemptive, restoring possibilities, that gives us hope. So that's why, not just Easter weekend, right? So we I like to go back to the empty tomb, because when we go to the tomb and we see it's empty, we know that always gives us hope, right? The tomb's empty. It's not just empty on Easter. You know that, right? I mean, we live in light of that. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that there, no matter what Satan tells you and what your flesh tells you and what the world tells you and what other people tells you, regardless of that, the empty tomb tells us that there are no hopeless situations, only people that have grown hopeless. And as believers, hey, we know. The Bible tells us there is hope. Some of you are wearing a t-shirt today. There is hope. And so for those of you who are weary today and tired and worn out and wonder if there is, that happens. Then those of us, we come alongside them as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we say, there is hope. And sometimes that means we hold them up. Sometimes that means we just affirm the truth to them again. Let them hear that. You're going to make it. There is hope. There is hope. Look up. Look up. Okay, where's our focus? What are we looking at? What are we looking at? If I dwell, and I'm good at this, if I'm not careful, if I'm going to dwell on all the situation, and I'm going to dwell on how bad it could, maybe, might, wonder, could possibly get, I'm going to get sick in my stomach. Literally. I do. So I have to go back to one of these takeaways. Where is it? Here it is. Takeaway number two, make a conscious choice to direct your heart toward God. If I don't do that purposefully, I'm going down the wrong road. My mind, right? So look up. That's what I say. Last one, takeaway number five is this. Drop the anchor. Drop the anchor. I mean, get the visual. You're out there in the lake, man. It's dark and it's windy and you're being tossed about. Drop the anchor. Let that anchor hold you until the storm passes. Does dropping the anchor mean the storm's going to stop? No. But dropping the anchor means until the storm passes, I am secure. Drop the anchor. Hebrews 6:19, we have this. Let's just, is it up there? Let's just read it together, by golly. Ready? Here we go. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Okay, I'll say it, then you say it, okay? Works better that way in chapel too, okay? We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Amen? We're dropping the anchor. So here's the deal. So the anchor becomes for you today, okay? Here's what I do. It becomes exactly what we're talking about, the promises of God. The promises of God. So you, and I'm not a name it, claim it guy, you go to the Word of God and you find those truths and those promises from God, and you know the character of God. He's faithful to keep them, and you grab a hold of that. Dropping the anchor means then I take that scripture verse and I'm holding on to that, man. And as I'm holding on to that promise, I'm ultimately holding on to God who made the promise. Drop the anchor, man. Be intentional. Don't try to wait it out yourself and just try harder. Drop the anchor. I don't care if it doesn't feel right or if you're still scared. Drop the anchor. We let the Word of God hold us. Hold us in the midst of the storm. And then that storm passes. And I don't know about you, but man, one time I got caught out in the boat, it lasted a lot longer than I wanted it to. That's going to happen. But the anchor holds. Drop the anchor. And then when we do, go back to Psalm 119, then when we do, God is telling us that even in the midst of struggle, suffering, trial, and uncertainty, he says, blessed is the man that walks in the ways of the Lord, even in the storms. Drop the anchor. Let's pray together today. Let's pray. Let's stand together. Will you stand with me? Yeah. Stand with me. And Father, we know that you will hold us steady, firm, steadfast. We believe it. We embrace it today, God. Because you are our hope. And so in the midst of the storm this morning, we are dropping the anchor of your word as it ties us to you, God. So I'm praying for those who might be in it right now. I don't know the situation, but some as they are walking through it right now. May you strengthen and encourage them. And Father, may we all be, may we all be reminded, because of this world, we'll sail into one. May we be well equipped to stand firm in the faith. I pray for those struggling. May Satan not in any way discourage, scare, cause doubt. The tomb is empty. You've conquered death and the grave and hell, and you are alive and you are sovereign. So may our response be to seek after you this morning. And you promise, you'll make beauty from ashes. You'll work it all together for good. You said you'll make it all beautiful in your time. And you've said in your word, your promise, that while weeping may come through the night, joy comes in the morning. So we're dropping those anchors today, God. We're believing it. And we're asking you to transform us, to do what we cannot do. We know it's through your grace and your power that we are able to be victors. So we're praying for that, and I'm praying for that in my life, but the life of this church family today too, God. In Jesus' name, in his name, we pray these things. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray a prayer based on what the Bible teaches. And if you desire to have Christ as Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray this prayer if God's drawing you to him, based on what the Bible teaches. Just silently where you stand between you and the Lord, I invite you to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have messed up. I've made mistakes in life. I need a Savior. And today I believe. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you, Jesus, died on a cross for my sins. And I believe you rose again, proving you were God. So today, cleanse me of my sin, of all unrighteousness. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're still praying. We're still worshiping. If you prayed that prayer, we would love the opportunity to talk with you. I'll be here at the front. Other staff, elders will be here. We would love an opportunity just to pray for you, just to affirm you and to pray for you and come alongside you as you walk out your new faith with Christ in this life. Other things you want to kneel and pray, or you want us to pray for you, however the Lord leads you, let's just continue to worship him this morning.